Thank you. Good to have you in our service here this morning on Easter Sunday morning. But it's going to be a little bit different because we've been promising and to come on here with two Babylons and on Bible prophecy. So we're going to finish that here this morning. So you get your Bibles ready and let's go to Revelation chapter 16, okay? We're going to move right along. We've got time to do it and going to get all the way through it, okay? Revelation here in chapter 16. And here's what we find. We're going to start here, and notice here, if you will, here in verse 13. And it says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon." Person wants to remember, the dragon is Satan. But we're going to find out he is indwelling a human being. So he is called, he's called the dragon and so forth there, and the serpent and all of that. But he is also the beast. He is the Antichrist. But he is Satan indwelling a human being. So, and then out of the mouth of the beast, which is the beast, that's him, dragon, Satan, he indwells a human being known as the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, they are the spirits of demons, devils, there's only one devil, working miracles, which go forth to all the kings of the earth. Now, I want to stop just a second. When you come here, and if you'll notice, this takes place, we find out, this takes place here, right here. Now, when it says, and why we say the false prophet, and we're using him, because he's the one that has the miracles to do in the middle of the tribulation period, he also calls fire down from heaven. So there's two that have this supernatural power. It is Satan, who indwells a human being. He is the Antichrist and the false prophet. That takes place here. Now, back here, right after the rapture, the false prophet also is the head of the one world church. That's what you're seeing in your ecumenical thing here in the world today. Everybody wants to get together. I don't know how many times down in the last, 35 years, Lutheran preacher calls me down in Indiana, and he says, "We'd like to welcome you to the the Pastoral Association." I said, "I'm not coming." And I said, "Why not?" I said, "Because you send people to hell. You tell them the water baptism takes them to heaven, and I'm going to tell them you lied, and it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and so forth." Well, he says, "There's no reason we can't get together." I said, "There's every reason in the world we can't get together." And that isn't the first time, folks. That just happens to be one example of what a preacher goes through if you're going to stand on the Bible. You don't play games with him. You don't play handsy-pansy with him. Because once you join him, here's what happens. "Well, you can't talk against us. You're one of us." So, you know, and they do that to shut your mouth so that you won't run down the person that you join. Very tricky little thing. This is what pastors, especially in this day and age, this is what you're going to face. This is what pastors face. So, gird up your loins like a man and stand, because if you're going to stand for the Lord, you're going to have some backbone, you're going to have some guts, and you're going to have to quit worrying about who your friends are and start standing for the Lord Jesus Christ and realize your real friends are other Christians. That's who your friends are. Now, with that in mind, he's over. They both go to Babylon. We have all this in the book, but they both go to Babylon. We're going to find out that the false prophet is headed up. Because Satan, he's the top lieutenant with Satan. And that's why we use these two. They go to Babylon, and that's where your headquarters is going to be for the whole commercial world. And that's where the beast, the Antichrist, is going to rule out of. But also, over that, is the false prophet. Now, the Antichrist sets him an example. Here we got the rapture takes place. We got hundreds and thousands and millions of so-called religious people. Most of them say we're Christians, but they're not. If they were Christians, they would have went at the rapture. They didn't go at the rapture. They're all here. Now, what are we going to do with them? We got the Muslims over there. We got the Lutherans over here. We got the Catholics over here. We got all kind of religions all through the world. What are we going to do with them now? You know, so the false prophet is over the one world church. So, what happens? How are we going to do this? Are you going to say that all of you religions out here, millions, that you're going to cash in your God, are the Mormons going to cash in Joseph Smith? Are the Catholics going to cash in the Pope and all of these phony priests out here? There are no priests. If you're going to be a priest, you got to be a Jew, first of all. You got to be of the tribe of Levi, number second. Any priest out here, and then you want me to call you father? You got rocks in your head. I think in Matthew chapter 23, you ought to read it, call no man father upon the earth. If you go to Matthew, you'll find out, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Not you putting a white strip around your neck here and trying to claim the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ where you can be worshipped. You're phonier than a $3 bill, pard. 48% of them are pedophiles or homos. If you doubt that, I'll give you the clipping out of the Star Tribune, and you can read it for yourself. It's right there. So, don't stand in awe. This is the real world, folks. This is what's coming. So he's over that. He's over all of that. Now, during that time, here's a question that comes up, okay? We have the 144,000 that get saved right after the rapture. They wasn't saved before the rapture. They would have went up with the rapture. We have the two witnesses. Then they got saved right after the rapture. You have probably hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Christians that get to be a Christian after the rapture that have been witnessed to maybe by you. And they've laughed at it, and so forth. And here it is. My wife's missing. My husband's missing. My baby's missing. And your baby is part of the body of Christ. It's not a rupture, it's a rapture. So if you have a baby and you're lost parents, your baby's going to be gone. It's gone at the rapture. So, then what happens? They start witnessing for the Lord because they're saved now, but their mother and dad or their aunts and uncles are not saved because that's why they're in the tribulation period along with the Christians that got saved. Now, here is the one world government leader, the false prophet. What does he do? What does he do? Well, first of all, the Antichrist says, I'm going to set an example for you. So, he talks to the false prophet. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a covenant with Israel, which fulfills Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. He makes a covenant with Israel, a perpetual covenant that will always last. But after 3.5 years, he's going to break that covenant. So, we make a covenant with Israel. You go ahead and rebuild your temple. You go ahead and worship whatever you want to worship. He's got Israel off of his back. So, the false prophet, you are to do the same thing. There's no way that we're going to take Islam and say, I want you to cash in on Muhammad, your prophet, or Allah, your God. You think that's going to happen? That they're going to cash that in and say, what's this generic God you want us to worship? You got rocks in your head. That isn't going to happen. I've made a covenant with Israel. Allow them to worship like they want to worship. Leave them alone, and they'll leave you alone. Okay? It's exactly what the Antichrist done because, I should say, the false prophet, he takes his orders from the Antichrist. He's the top ruler. So, he puts out a whole decree. Every religion, and then he puts it out. I've had to get the Christians out of here because they were the troublemakers. I'm the real God, but these were troublemakers. All they wanted to do was fuss, fight, and argue. That's all they wanted to do. So I had to get rid of them. And I know some of them were your relatives, but nevertheless, for world peace, which I'm the peacemaker, that's how the Antichrist comes in. I'm the world peacemaker. So then, the false prophet puts this out all over television, satellite, and everything else. All of you righteous religious people, you worship however you want to worship. We don't care. There's one stipulation. You cannot proselyte somebody else. You must leave them alone so they can have peace and how they want to worship. You can have peace and how you want to worship. So there's not going to be anybody bother you. And if they do, the stipulation is, the death penalty is there with no probation. The death penalty is there. He puts that into effect. That's the way it is. All of you religions, wherever you're at all over the world, worship however you want to worship. Doesn't make any difference. We want you happy. And you won't be happy thrown in your religion and worshiping some one world church. No. He is over the one world of churches is what he's over. Everything goes great. But that brings in a problem. Because here we have Christians now that got saved under here. And that's why God had said to the 144,000 and the two witnesses here, you know, hang on a minute here. don't continue on with this here with 144,000 until I have sealed them. They're both sealed until they're through with their testimony. The two witnesses were through with their testimony after 3.5 years, 144,000, went right straight on through the tribulation period, but they had the protection of God. Nobody could kill them. They could bring plagues or anything else that they wanted to bring, and that's how it kept under control. Now, we have Christians that are witnessing. What happens to them? Do you remember the edit that the false prophet put out? If anybody bothers anybody else's religion and so forth there, or it's reported, you're killed. Well, let's see what happens. Go with me to Revelation chapter 6, okay? So let's go over there. Here we go. Revelation chapter 6. Here we go. Notice in verse 9, because these were killed before you had to take the mark. You don't have to take the mark of the beast till after 3.5 years. So, here's Christians here, got saved after the rapture. Notice in verse 9, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Why? Here's the reason why. For their testimony which they held. They're witnessing. That's why they died. They didn't have to take mark of the beast. Mark of the beast wasn't given for 3.5 years later. So they got killed because of that. You see. Now, also, we find out in chapter 17 and verse 5 and 6. Going back with me to chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. Now we're talking about the one world religious system here. And let's see what happens here. All right. Notice here in verse 5. And upon her forehead, and this is the one world religious system here, Mystery Babylon, because that's where the headquarters was. The great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And notice in verse 6, I saw the woman, that is, these religions, all drunken with the blood of the saints. In other words, they were murdered. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, because the false prophet has given all of these churches all over the world. You find anybody that tries to interfere with you, you have the right from headquarters. You have the right to kill them. These are those that died in the first 3.5 years because of their testimony. That's interesting. Then we move on, okay? Then we find out here, there are some that are going to escape. Go with me to chapter 7 of Revelation chapter 7, all right? Revelation chapter 7. Boy, they're running for their life then. But there are some that are going to make it through. Revelation chapter 7, I'd like for you to notice here. And notice in verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and so forth. And these are they here which came out of great tribulation. And I cried with a voice, saying, salvation to God, set upon the throne, and so forth there. And we find out as we go on down here, all the angels round about the throne stood and so forth like that. Notice in verse 14, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest, and he said to me, said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So there's going to be a multitude that comes out also alive, you see. So that's very interesting. Now, let's move on a little bit, all right? And we find out in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, the Antichrist, after 3.5 years, there's a prophecy of 490 years in Daniel chapter 9. After 483 years, Messiah shall be cut off. So 483 years of that prophecy of 490 is already fulfilled with Christ being crucified. That leaves 1 year of 7 years, which is that 7 year tribulation period, which has never been fulfilled yet. And it won't be until the rapture takes place. So when the rapture takes place, it automatically starts the 7 year tribulation period. So we come on down and we find out in the midst of that week, in the midst of that week, after 3.5 years, then we find out the Antichrist stands up, and in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, he declares himself to be God, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, so that he as God setteth in the temple now, declaring himself to be God. Now we find out what happens to the false prophet. Okay, now the false prophet, all of these religions have now come to the conclusion This guy deceived us. He told us we could just worship how we want to, but we can't now. After 3.5 years, I've got to either take the mark of the beast, which is the number of a man, 666. I've got to take that number, and I've got to sell myself out to him, or I'm going to be killed. So all of these religions all over the world, because the Antichrist is not going to allow anybody to worship any other religion but him. So he puts the end out. You can't buy or sell. And if anybody doesn't receive the mark of the beast, you'll be put to death. So here it takes care of all the religions. They have one or two choices. You either take the mark of the beast, you've sealed your soul into eternal damnation, or we're going to kill you. You can't worship anymore. You're done. All the churches are then taken care of. It may take a couple of months or so forth, but it's put out. And there will still be some running around, so the Antichrist is going to set this up. Now, I'd like for you to go with me, and let's go here, and go over here to Revelation chapter 13, okay? Revelation chapter 13. In Revelation chapter 13, we find out, and we'll look here in verse 1, and then verses 3 to 7. And in verse 3 it says, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. That's the Antichrist. That's not the false prophet. So, what are you saying, one of the heads? When it starts out, there are seven men from all over the key men. They meet in Babylon, they're going to make decisions, and then there is a tug of war for who's going to be the head honcho. It turns out it's going to be the Antichrist because five are fallen. As time goes on, five are not going to make it. Number six is yet to come. When he comes, he isn't going to make it because we have the Antichrist who is a human being indwelt with Satan himself, and now he rises and shows himself that he is the really the true God. So we go on and let's notice here. We come on down, and look in verses 3 to 7. He said in verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon, that's Satan, the Antichrist, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who in the world is like the beast, and who's able to make war with him? Here he just was wounded to death, and he had a resurrection. That's supernatural, folks. That's supernatural. Nobody could do that unless God gave him the power to do it. Remember this, all supernatural power is either God-given or God restrains. He has a reason for giving this. If you believe not the truth, then I'll send you a lie that you will believe a lie in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, if you're dumb enough not to believe with all of the evidence here upon the earth, your time dated from and everything else, if you don't want to believe that, you don't want to listen to Christians, you've been witnessed to time after time, you deserve to be fooled. The Antichrist has the power to imitate the miracles, especially the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because now, remember the Antichrist said, you know, this false guy up here by the name of Jesus tried to pretend himself as God. That's why I had to get rid of all of them. This is a little reverse psychology, folks. This is what the world has to look forward to from here on, plus the rapture. You ought to thank God so much you're saved, or you'll be living what we're preaching. You'll be the saddest person on the face of the earth. Because you'll either die for your testimony, or you'll take the mark of the beast if you go into the tribulation unsaved, and you just want to get along again as you've done on this earth previously, and you take that mark, you've signed your soul to eternal damnation for all time and eternity. So you're between a rock and a hard place. You better get saved now if you're not. Okay, let's go on down. Then we find out here, as we go on down, let's look on down in verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, blasphemy his name, and his tabernacle to them that dwell in heaven. So he blasphemed everything, because he's now going to claim himself to be God. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So what we're saying is this, when you have these guys putting out there's going to be a revival of the Roman Empire, there's no revival of the Roman Empire. If it's a revival of anything, it's a one world government. Read it again. And this will get put in our book. He has power given over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. The whole world, folks. I don't know where they ever come up with this Roman Empire stuff. But they do, because Rome sits on seven hills, really. Well, so is about 70 other places set on it. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now we come on down, and let's begin to look here. And we find out there is another beast. Notice in verse 11, this is your false prophet. Here's another beast right here. This is the false prophet. He's the one over all the religions, but he sold them out now. He sold them all down the drain. He either got to cash in your religion and worship the Antichrist as God, or you're going to be killed. And all the so-called churches and everything else there, they have the power to do that. But here's the thing. Well, I shouldn't say all churches. We're going to see whether the Antichrist appoints 10 kings and divides this world into 10 providences. And that king over every providence has also his army in order to take care of these misfits who will not give up their religion, kill them. There's only one religion from the middle of the tribulation period, and that's the Antichrist. He's going to be worshipped as God, or you're going to die if he can get a hold of you. Each one of these kings have the same authority given to them by the Antichrist, and they agreed with the authority they have to give it back to the Antichrist. In other words, we'll do exactly with this power you gave us. We'll exercise it for your glory, sir. Let's go on down. I beheld another beast. Now, this is the false prophet. Coming up out of the earth, that means a man, and he had two horns like a lamb, spake as a dragon. Did you ever have someone just say nice sweet words to you and stab you in the back? This is what this guy does. Yeah, he comes up like a lamb, just as so sweet that sugar wouldn't melt in his mouth. And underneath it all is, I got you, pard. I'm going to put the screws to you. I'm going to either, you're going to worship the Antichrist, or we're going to kill you. This is what the world has to look forward to. Let's go on down. Now, do you remember we went to Revelation chapter 16 and I said this power, the reason we're taking this planet to the false prophet is because he works with the Antichrist. They're just like this. Now, we're going to find out that 3.5 years is done and the Antichrist declares himself to be God. Now, the false prophet is going to do miracles too, because remember the false prophet, the same as there back in Revelation chapter 16, both of them had power to do these miraculous things. Now let's see what the false prophet can do. And he's doing this because he'll prove to the world he's a minister of God, because look at these miracles that I can do. Let's read on down. He exercises all of the power of the first beast, that's the Antichrist, before him, and he calls it the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. All you have to do is read about Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18. You got to read the whole thing. And you'll find out, did Elijah call fire down from heaven? And did it come? God sent the fire down from heaven. Elijah just didn't say, hey, fire! And it came. God sent the fire that God had promised, that he asked for with these false prophets. All miracles come from God as he gives to certain men if it is there. And let me just say this. I'll just throw this in. This is free. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the miracles of the apostles and so forth. You read about that, you know. They raised the dead and healed the sick and so forth. All of that was given them. Do you know? The men whom they touched also had the power. After that, nobody had the power. It ended after that. The apostles had it. Everybody they touched. Well, I shouldn't say everybody, most by the only the ones that they touched that God allowed that to be transferred to. They're the only ones. Past the ones that the apostles touched, it ended. They didn't have it. Look at what Paul, he said to Timothy, drink a little wine, that was grape juice, for thy stomach's sake. And there, why didn't Paul heal him? Trophimus, I left my lead him sick, why didn't he heal him? He couldn't heal him. And yet, when you go to the last part there in the book of Acts, you find out when Paul got bitten with the viper, he could heal himself. It was healed. And there. But after you find out these miracles were taken away, there was no need for them, including the miracles, spatial knowledge. Oh, I had a dream last night. God appeared to me. Yeah, you phony bony. Yeah, what do you mean appear to you? Knowledge, prophecy. Oh, God appeared to me, and he gave me a prophecy about you. Really? And tongues. When that which is perfect, teleos, which means completed, that which we know in part, knowledge, prophecy, and tongues, is done away with and no longer exists. We have your Pentecostals now trying to bring them in. Oh, I had a dream, I had a dream, and we're speaking in tongues and speaking to... They ended in 96 A.D., sir. There has... Do you mean to tell me the Holy Spirit will do something that he said he'd never do again? Knowledge, prophecy, and tongues, the only knowledge you got is in the Bible. And it was completed with the book of Revelation. Prophecy, there's no more prophecy. The last thing Revelation wrote, if you add unto this book, I'll add unto you the plagues that are written in this book, and if you take away from it, I'll take away your part of life and eating of the tree of life and so forth. So, this is it. You don't need any more knowledge in the Bible. Prophecy, you got all the prophecy you need with the book of Revelation at the end. Speaking in tongues, you're phone here in a $3 bill, you're nothing but a satanic counterfeit. That's all that you are. And you're going to pawn that off on me? I don't think so. Here's the false prophet. Let's look a little more at what he does. Calls fire down from heaven. Elijah did that in 1 Kings chapter 18. You ought to read about it there. I imagine he'll say, you know, nobody can do this if it wasn't of God. So he's going to convince everybody that he's really a prophet of God. And telling the people, here's the true God, the Antichrist. The world will go for it. If you don't believe it'll go for it. You got in Roman Catholicism, that's so dominant there. How many people feel they're sinning if they don't call the priest father? They love it, folks. They love it. How many? You know, oh, you blast me. You're not giving respect. Sir, as a priest, you're the most disrespectful man I ever met in my life because you're trying to claim a title that only God has, and that is, he is my father. And I think if you go to John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, if I'm a son of God, he has to be my father, does he not? Oh, how'd you get in there, Mr. Priest? How'd you get yourself involved in there? And you know what? You've got the people around, if you tell them that, around this area or any other area in this world, they think you're some kind of nut. Because they've had that stamped in them, just like a stamping pad that you stamp a letter with or something. What a farce. The next thing. Let's go here to chapter 17. Okay, let's go over to chapter 17 and get here so that you get it all right. Chapter 17. In chapter 17, we find out here what he does. Now, before you go here, chapter 17, and let's go here in verse 12. Okay, in verse 12. Here, he gives over there in the previous verses there, he said there were seven, five are fallen, one is, that's six, number seven. Then we find out here in verse 11 that, and the beast that was, he was alive, and is not, he's dead, even he is of the eighth, and is of the seventh, goeth into perdition. In other words, he's considered the eighth now, because number seven was alive, or number six or seven was alive. There, and then he was not, he died, and then he had a resurrection, so he's considered number eight. Okay. Then we come on down and we begin to find out that he appoints 10 different kings and appoints them over all of the earth. In verse 12, here we go. He says here, and the 10 horns, when you see that in the Bible, it is 99% of the time, representing power, and thou sawest are 10 kings. Which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. They call these men in. Doesn't take long. He knows them. Satan knows exactly who's going to be his boys. Just like Obama does. He knows who to appoint where. Does he not? Absolutely. If you know anything, you think he's going to appoint somebody that is a conservative and believes the Bible and so forth like that? You're a dreamer. He isn't going to do that. He's going to appoint a man that's going to stand up for him and do what he tells him to do. just like your attorney general. He's a puppet. He's a puppet. And see the things that he's done and so forth, the things that he won't do in prosecution, the excuses that he makes. He's a little puppet to Obama, that's all he is. They couldn't have got a, he couldn't have got a better man, truthfully. Then let's go on down. All right. We come here then, and we go on down and notice when we get on down here, and in verse 16. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, that's the Antichrist, these shall hate the whore, that's the one world church, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. It's a figure of speech, she's going to be destroyed. In other words, if you don't hang it up, religions, and worship the Antichrist, which is the true and real God, we got rid of the phony God. They called his name Jehovah. And then he had another name, Elohim and Adonai, but we got to get Adonai in there too. How tricky these Christians were, so-called, in there. We had to get rid of them. Now, let's go on down. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. When we say that God sets up one and brings down another, like in Daniel chapter 10, which he does. He brought Nebuchadnezzar down. He brought other kings down. Whether it's by assassination, whether it's by a heart attack, or whatever it is. He sets them up and brings them down. So if you're worried about how this election is going to go, don't worry too much, because it's going to be who God allows to get in, if you want to put it that way. Well, should I vote? Absolutely. Why shouldn't you not? You have a right to exercise it. But if God wants somebody in you didn't vote for, he'll overrule you, because he'll get more votes on the other side. It's not a big deal. Just recognize it is God who sets up one and brings down another. Say, how in the world could we get an Obama? Because you deserted him. You look at God's point of view and look down upon this earth here, folks. We don't even deserve to be here, except for the Christians. We don't accept. Do you think the Supreme Court deserves to be here? This is grace, brother. Give a mother a right to kill her child while it's alive in her womb? Oh, boy, it's sort of scary, isn't it? They have a right to be here. They don't have any more right at all. They ought to be tried for first-degree murder. Premeditated, if you want the truth. But you can't get preachers to stand up and speak the truth anymore. They're like little whiffs here, little puppets with the organization they belong to. Absolutely worthless if you want the truth. Let's go on down. God put it into their hearts to fulfill. God put it into their mind to fulfill and agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman that is your mother of harlots and so forth, which thou sawest, is that great city, that's Babylon, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. They were in complete control. Now, these ten kings appointed over ten provinces of the whole world, each one will have a section. They hate the whore, and they're going to destroy her. How? By fire. That's what it says. Shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Eat her flesh could mean several different things. Burn her with fire, easy to understand. You're going to see fire all over the place. Every synagogue, every temple, every worship place, every church, every private home that has prayer meetings and Bible studies and so forth like that. Everything that has to do is going to be destroyed. And under these ten kings who will have their armies in their particular section too, because you've got to remember this, when this goes out, you're starting the tribulation with all lost people. And here comes a God that stands up. They'll go for him just like he wouldn't leave. Look at what America went for. Everything that's anti-American, that's what America went for. We got the dumbest people in this country I've ever seen in my life. They haven't got any more common sense that they even know they got five fingers on their hands. They didn't look twice. Amen. You know? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But you're living in the last days before Jesus Christ comes. And then, these are the things that you're going to be watching from heaven and seeing down here. You ought to thank God you're saved. Thank him over and over again. You're very precious to him. You really are. And you're going to leave without dying. You're going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. And you're going to have a brand new body. And you're going to enter heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you about them. They're already there. You're not building them. They're already there. In my Father's house are. Not that I'm trying to build them for you. I know that ruins a lot of good sermons with Baptist preachers. Oh, if God's been in heaven for 2,000 years, Christ has. Look at the mansions he's building for us. Hate to blow your whistle there, Pard, but they're already there, you know. Maybe you can put some trim on the windows, but that's about the only thing you're going to get a chance to do, you know. Okay, let's go on down, okay. Now we come on down here and find out the one world church is destroyed, okay. Now we go here, and let's go on over here now. With that in mind, he declares himself to be God, and he destroys everything. Go with me to Revelation chapter 11, okay? Revelation chapter 11, let's just take a little peek over here, all right? Revelation here in chapter 11, I'd like for you to notice in 1 or 2. It said, there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. This is in the first 3.5 years when he makes a covenant with Jews and says, you go on in and build your temple, do what you want to do. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. Look up just a second and let me tell you how simple it is. When the Antichrist breaks his covenant, the nation of Israel destroys the temple, all of the area and so forth like that. Don't measure it because it isn't going to be there after 3.5 years. I'm going to give it to the Gentiles. Remember when he breaks the covenant with Israel in Matthew chapter 24 in verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination and desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, look up. Boy, you better head for the field because pray it's not the Sabbath day. You're not going to make it and they'll kill you. Pray your women are not pregnant and carrying a child, you know, or there. And pray that. You won't get it. And this is how tragic this is going to be. There won't be a Jew in round near Jerusalem because he's going to kill them all. So, why measure that? And it's given to be trod underfoot of the Gentiles. There'll be Gentiles all over the place doing what they want to do. Isn't that amazing? And what a prophecy it fulfills. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 24, if you will. Matthew here, chapter 24. All right. You remember, this was prophesied... This was prophesied about 2,000 years ago. Ain't that something? And here he just amplifies upon here. Matthew chapter 24. Okay. Here we go. I'd like for you to notice verse 1 and 2. It's just pretty simple. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him and for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus saith unto them, seek you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That was a prophecy clear on out past the rapture when the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel, destroys everything, and don't measure outside the temple there because it's going to be given to the Gentiles. And how long did he say? 42 months or 3.5 years. So after he breaks the covenant, 3.5 years, there will not be one stone left upon another, and the Gentiles will be running all over the place. You won't find a Jew because they're fleeing for their life. You see how simple it is, you know. Now, we also see, and I'd like for you while we're here to go back to Revelation chapter 17 and just want to show you again. When they talk about a revival of the Roman Empire, I don't know. That's a very misleading thing, you know. In verse 15 and in verse 15 and 16, okay? 17, 15, and 16. Notice here. You find out here, this is even the religion worldwide. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sowest where the horse setteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So, who this whore is over of her filthiness incorporates the whole world. Not just Rome. Remember the picture we showed you of the Roman Empire? And it was only 4.4% of the world landmass or nations and so forth like that. And then the 10 kings which thou sawest shall make her desolate and so on and so forth. But all over the peoples, the multitudes, the nations, and tongues, every language, anywhere, This is a one world government and a one world church, not a revival of the Roman Empire. And we better ask if we put that in the book. Yeah, we put it in the book. Glad to put it in the book. You know. Okay, now while we're here, let's go back to the 13th chapter. And in fact, we can look here, 13th chapter here. Now, all of those religious people either take the mark of the beast or they're killed. Okay? Now we come here to the 13th chapter, and notice what else this second beast, which is, do you remember what he is now? The first beast is the Antichrist, second beast is who? The false prophet. Right. Now, and this is him, starts up here with verse 11, seeing a religious beast, okay? Now, we come on down to verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that that image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Boy, that's putting it right down black and white, isn't it? And then, if you have to escape that, then you got double barrel shotgun. If you escape that, you don't worship the image of the beast. Then he goes on down, and he, now this is the false prophet. He's the one we said worked together with the Antichrist. You see, they're just like brothers and sisters, but he's been with Satan clear back on the original creation. These are all demons. He just didn't happen to be some man to come in there. This is a demon. These men are demon-possessed. He's been with him when God kicked him off the original creation, when Satan wanted to exalt himself above the stars and above God, be co-equal with God, so forth like that. And then God destroyed the original creation and had to remodel it again for mankind when he put him on here. So, here's what he says. And he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or the forehead, that no man might be able to buy or sell, save that he had the mark and the name of the beast or the number of his name. And so forth, 666. So, you count it down, and that'll give you a rundown. I wanted to get through that because we promised that last week, and probably some people got upset and didn't come today because of that. I don't know why they don't or what. Maybe they got a headache. You know, women use that a lot for various occasions. And whatever, you know. And don't think an evil thought, you know. But anyway, we're ready to close. Now, this is fantastic. Now, I think it's 6 till. Okay, the billfold sin, and I'm the sinner, but if you're watching, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have absolutely nothing to look forward to, except hell on earth. And if you thought hell was on earth before the rapture, you're going to see what hell on earth is like, and then when you take the mark of the beast, you're going into a literal hell. So you've got nothing to look forward to any way, shape, or form. The billfold sin. You're a sinner, whether you agree with God or not. He will prove to be right. You'll prove to be deceived. We've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. Don't go to hell and pay for your sin. Please don't do that. You can see almost a tear coming out of God's eyes if you reject him because you're the biggest fool that ever walked on this earth. In other words, you put your trust in man instead of putting it in God. And he warns you in Psalms 118:8, better put your trust in the Lord and confidence in men. And now, you did just opposite of what God told you to do. So now you're going to have to pay for your own sin in hell. And you'll hear when you die, sir or ma'am or whoever you might be, depart from me, you're cursed. Devastating words, and you know, and you can probably look over there and see the flames of hell. Depart from me, you're cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Only the fool has said in his heart there is no God. I hope, if you want to be a fool, there's no skin off of my back. That's your life. But I can only tell you how to have eternal life. If you'll trust Christ, and this hand doesn't represent sin, it represents absolute righteousness, no sin. If you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved from hell. And he'll take your sin the minute you believe and mark it paid 2,000 years ago, put to his account when he died on the cross. And he'll take his righteousness and he'll put it to your account. And he'll put there, this is my son, this is my daughter, and cover it with a little bit of blood, that you are sealed for eternity as one of his, and you will never perish but have everlasting life. I hope if you've never done that, you'll do it as we bow in a word of prayer. So let's bow, if you will. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for the privilege to be able to give the gospel. Thank you, dear Lord, that we can tell people how to go to heaven. I wish there was some way we could stab them in the back end somewhere and make them get with it, but we can't. And the Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And if that doesn't do it, God will never take away their free will. They have a free will to go to hell, just like they have a free will to go to heaven. I just pray those who will believe your word and enjoy the blessings and the peace that God gives, knowing you have a home in heaven for all time and eternity.